Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, everyone. Hi, welcome. This is Topics with Trish. Welcome to Your Voice Radio Network. Hope you are joining in. Remember, there's two ways you can join us as we do the Topics with Trish broadcast on the Blog Talk Radio program. You can either join our Facebook group video feed, which you will find at www.facebook.com/groups/YourVoiceRadio2017. You can also listen in at www.blogtalkradio.com/YourVoiceRadio. You can give me a call live here at the studio. Give me a call, 929-477-2779. I can receive your calls and comments here. You can share your voice. Remember, it's Your Voice Radio. What matters most is indeed your voice. The lighting is really coming through, as you can see here in the live, in the red room. We'll just keep it at daylight. I know it's going to go in and out, but, you know, hey, I'm not a video pro. So, okay, yes, here on Your Voice Radio Network, what matters most is your voice. I can sit here and talk all day. It doesn't count if you're not sharing the information and if you're not getting in on the conversation. If you're not taking what we share here, whether you listen to Donna Shear and Lee Roberts on Two Nanas at Noon every Wednesday, or if you listen in to the Dr. Rose Show every Monday, or if you listen in to me here, Topics with Trish, every Tuesday and Thursday, I've got to do something about this video feed here. It's not coming through either. I'm not sitting. There we go. All right. That's a little bit better. If radio listeners could see what the video is and a video could hear what I'm just saying on the radio, you know, we would have a really crappy show. Anyway, so today we're continuing our Child Abuse Prevention Month topics. This is part five. In this one, we are going to discuss, who do we hold accountable when our worst fears make the media, when our very worst cases finally get someone's attention, whether an adult is killed in domestic violence or a child is killed or severely harmed in some type of child abuse, whether it be neglect or a physical injury, a broken bone, sexual harm. You know, there's many types of different types of harm. It's not just about sexual trauma or, it's all of it. Every bit of it is about one human being's power and need to control over another human being. And they will pick whoever is the weakest link. They will go after whoever it is they feel they can manipulate or get to do or threaten or whatever it takes to get that other person to do or let them do what they want to do. Their thrill is in the power and in many, many times in the pain. Most cases of child abuse that I've either learned about or people have come to me and shared their personal stories, most cases were about how much pain could be inflicted. It may have started off even nice and gentle, you know, maybe a parent telling a child, this is the love between us and this is the way it's supposed to be. Maybe an uncle or an aunt, here, I'll buy you your favorite presents and what have you. But sooner or later, rarely does it go without, because they will want to advance their fantasies. And if they can inflict this upon a willing or a manipulated willing, or even if they get the thrill out of terrorizing, it is most definitely more about the control and what they can influence or inflict on their victim, whether it be an adult or a child. It's all about the power and control. Many times, sadly, about the fear. Okay, let's move on. Today, when you tune into Your Voice Radio, like I said, we have a team of hosts, and I'm really honored to be a part of that. Also, look for the book Unmasked, on available through Amazon and Lulu. This is a group of advocates a group of survivors who have become advocates, and something personal, something inspiring, something that changed their lives, something that brought light to their lives, something that you didn't know about them. I know it's hard to say, you know, hey, what's out there about Trish that we don't know, you know, but you never know. There probably are many more things than I would ever fully divulge. Wouldn't want to put anybody through that, but some really great things have happened as well. And I've been blessed in many ways. And, you know, it may have been a really horrific beginning, but I got to tell you, it's been a pretty fantastic adult life, you know. And if I take out the different abusers that I chose to tolerate, or that I believed I should tolerate, the trip gets even more fantastic. You know, for the bad, there was definitely a lot of good. I never thought I'd become a mom, and I have three beautifully healthy children. I never thought that I would live to see my grandchildren. I have three wonderfully amazing grandchildren. Happy birthday to Princess Willow, who turned 8 years old Tuesday. Anyway. You know, I have my own grandchildren, I have my children, and I've seen the after effects, even though I chose to say, hey, you know, I'm going to break this. I'm not going to let my children experience this. My stepfather was never abusive to my mother, so I didn't realize how harmful watching and listening to those things could be. So by the time I started noticing signs, because when you're in the middle of it, it's really, really hard to see it. People want to know why we stay. You know, so many things we've got to figure out before we can ever leave a situation like this. And as funding is cut for more and more services across the U.S., and especially here in the state of Illinois, where our budget crisis is like taking everything from victims, I got to tell you, there are many, many people who are going without and are trying to manipulate a system or maneuver through a system that is very difficult to maneuver through and find services for yourselves. Yeah, I always talk about services are available. Yeah, they are. But sometimes, you know, it's really, really hard when you're in the thick of it to realize what's going on. So I didn't realize how traumatic that was for them. You know, my kids not only lived with 4 years or 8 months with an abusive stepmother, but then came back to live with me for another 2.5 years in a very violent and abusive marriage. So even though he had a great relationship with my kids, what they were witnessing with me, there's like this light issue. No more white shirts, I guess. Anyway, though, even though my kids were not being harmed, what they were having to watch harmed them much worse and caused some distressing behaviors as they grew up and in their adult lives and in their adult choices. I carried my guilt for that for a very, very long time and still do on some level. On the other level, however, they are adults. They know better than this. And I've use countless resources to help them. And at sometimes we all got to put on our big person panties and get our lives together and take responsibility. And taking responsibility is exactly what our show is about today. Who do we hold accountable when these worst fears, when the worst, you know, suddenly the police and the ambulance show up at the neighbor's house and we may have heard them arguing, or maybe we didn't hear anything at all, or maybe we heard a child screaming, and you know what, we listened. And some of the worst cases can involve, you know, some very distressing signals on the outside, but you cannot tell me, knowing as many people that passed through my life back in the 1970s, throughout the 70s, you know, my life was pretty, really, really, really horrific. So throughout the 1970s, there were different people, many people, who passed through my life. So who could have been that person who intervened? People know these kids. People know these victims. And because of our generationally taught tolerance and even dismissal and even out and out refusing to report serious signs of harm, we cope and we deal with things inside the family. If you go into a rural community, you know, let's say that, you know, in the city, you live in an apartment building. Your houses are 3 feet apart. You see or hear somebody spanking their kids. All of a sudden, we're picking up the phone to call Children and Youth Services. Okay? In a rural community, you see somebody spank their kids, and it's okay. You know, I am one that agrees with a little bit of parenting, but you don't have to spank or spank hard. You know, a little tap will do you. Let's put it that way. A little love tap will do you whenever you are just trying to get your kids' attention. Try a little love tap. You know, you don't need to be spanking your kids. But little love taps definitely go far in getting someone's attention. I'm not condoning abuse. I'm condoning parenting. There's a difference. Okay, so somebody knows these victims, and then we find out about it whenever they make the media. But why don't people next door or people that have been around these victims, why don't they report? Why don't they step up to the plate? Why don't they take accountability? And why don't our laws hold them accountable? We prosecute these cases very, very differently. There are different laws in place that have been amended and revamped and written up and enforced throughout the country and even around the world in these cases. We don't prosecute them in the same manner as we do a burglary or a murder. You know, we in those cases, we say, oh, we have to have absolute evidence. In these cases, many times there may not be evidence. And that begs the question of how do we prosecute these cases? I've seen cases to where the worst case scenario happened and false accusations went through and scared a plea deal in a person's life because of legal advice given that they may not be able to beat this even without any evidence being available. So they were talked into a plea deal and, you know, and now have a huge mark on their record that's going to be with them forever. But, you know, without any evidence, how can we say without any, you know, real concrete evidence, we don't prosecute these cases like we do in other crimes. So we have to say, okay, we need to get these cases as soon as quickly as possible, which means that we need community involvement and intervention. We need somebody picking up the phone even if it's a false report. Yeah, well, let me rephrase that. Not a false report, but even if it turns out to be nothing, or if it turns out that it's not serious, that it's a one-time deal. But neighbors and family, come on, take a break. I need you to gain some common sense in this. We don't want to be over extreme to where we are making all of these outlandish creations out of nothing. But we need to make sure that services are getting involved when they absolutely need to be. You know, there are many, many different signs that something is going on, and many of us will see early distressing behaviors. You know, if you see or hear something, you know, watch your neighbor for about a week or a month. And if things start adding up, if they start progressing, or if, you know, absolutely, if you hear extreme danger or threats with weapons, things like that, you need to get the cops there right away. If you are being watchful, maybe you've seen or heard something that didn't quite set right with you. Watch that child. Watch that person's home. Watch their behaviors. See if you can get them to come a little bit closer to you, to kind of trust you a little bit, and know that you will help them. Many times, victims inside the home, especially kids, do not have access to getting a phone. To, you know, I've known countless abusers and countless. With this blog that I wrote, and I'm going to read this off. I did post the link to it out there. It says, there's a little girl living around the corner from you. Most mornings you see her while standing at the bus stop with your daughter. She always stands off quietly by herself. You look at her and wonder, why isn't she with the other children? You notice her hair is still messy from rising out of bed. Her shirt is wrinkled up, and the jeans look like they really don't fit. Suddenly, she looks up and makes eye contact with you. She'll force a smile on her face, and you see the yellow teeth. As a mom, you see the poor dental care and think, what's wrong? That poor little girl, doesn't anyone look after her? She feels your eyes on her, and she's ashamed of how she looks. To her, your eyes are burning judgment. The girl wonders if you can see what she's feeling. Can you see me standing here by myself? Can you see how I feel? I know how bad I look, but you're not supposed to know why. The little girl is about 12 years old. You see how pretty she could be if only she took better care of herself. Her eyes are a sparkling blue water, and you can see the sadness on her face. She wishes no one would notice her. She wants to be like your daughter, but she can't. She's trapped and doesn't know what to do. She wishes that her mom loved her. My mom doesn't even care that I look like this. She doesn't notice me at all. You look a little closer at her and you see her arms have open sores on them. To you, they look ugly and infected. Your reaction is to pull your 10-year-old closer to you so that she doesn't catch anything. You're not sure who this girl is, but you see her. She always looks the same. You start to wonder about her parents. My God, you think, who could let this child look like that? Why don't people take care of their kids? That poor thing must feel so horrible. You see the other children standing around in small groups together, but this girl isn't part of them, nor is she invited to join them. The other girls also turn and look at her. They point. then turn away, saying things which you can only imagine. Then you watch as the girl pulls her arms in around her, clutching her books tightly against her chest. She is hoping it will block the judgment of her. Please don't think bad of me like they do. If you knew what I had to do last night, what would you really think of me then? Her mind keeps going through with the questions. Would you let things happen to me like that if I were with you? I can never stop him or say anything to him. He is supposed to be my dad and take care of me, but he is so cruel to me. He always hurts me, but I can't help it. He just keeps coming after me. Well, you wait at the bus stop with your daughter to watch her and make sure she stays safe. You turn your back to the girl and keep a watchful eye on the other kids around you. The girl never steps out of her safety boundaries, standing alone, close to the bushes every morning without saying a word to anyone. She just glances around and sometimes gives a little shy smile your way as she ponders on her life, deeply wishing that someone would take care of her. She wants her mom to notice her. But when the girl was woke up this morning, she was just told, "You better hurry up and get your butt ready. Get to school. Get your butt out of that bed and get moving," she recalls. "You are not staying home with me, so you better not be late. You get moving now." As the little girl stands quietly by the bushes, her mind is racing with memories and flashbacks of her night. She barely got any sleep and she feels utterly exhausted, more tired than any adult working a full day at two jobs. This child is standing there amazingly strong, but completely exhausted from her trauma. He attacked her again after sending her brother and sister to bed last night. He made her put on that nightgown again and touched her all over. She starts to question quietly, "Do you see what he did to me? Do you see the stains he left on me? Can you please help me?" Maybe for the past 6 months, you have noticed she's gotten a little worse in appearance or her actions. Still, no one else in town has said anything about this family, so why should I bother? I don't want to step in against those people. Her dad is up at the bar where her mom works every day. Then he goes home to step in against those, to step in on the kids. I'll bet something's happening there, but it's not my place to say anything. I just hope with those sores, they look really infected. I hope she stays away from my daughter. The girl's mind is still spinning with all of her fears. He touched me, he pinched me, he probed. He made me do things that were nasty. He told me how ugly I was as he pushed me away. Then when I fell on the floor, he got really angry and grabbed me by the hair. She rubs the top of her hair as she's remembering. When I fell, what caused him to get so angry? I never know what it is that makes him so mean with me, but it happens all the time. His hand swung up out of nowhere and landed hard on the side of my face. He started yelling about how disgusting I am. The bruise on her face was just starting to show a little on that side. She saw it as she was getting dressed, but apparently you don't see it. You can only see the filth on me. As you're still waiting on the bus with your daughter, you secretly look back at the little girl. Your eyes burn on her, though. She knows you can see the ugly sores on her and her greasy, unkempt hair. She knows you can see her wrinkled clothes that she dug out of the dirty laundry this morning. She didn't have anything clean to wear, but it seemed her little sister had all kinds of cute little things to put on. To be honest, the girl had on her sister's underpants because she didn't have on any of her own. Now she starts to think about what might happen if she reached over to you. She knows you would break down crying. Then she remembers how he had threatened her. She was supposed to call him Dad, but all he did was hurt her, and he told her, "If anyone finds out about this, your mom will be angry at you, and they will take you away. I'll come find you, and when I do, I will gladly kill you. No one will ever find you again. You will be buried somewhere deep." Those words were branded into her soul as he touched, and it burned into her skin. The girl is trapped in her nightmare. She can't reach out to anyone. She's afraid of someone noticing her. What if they say something to me? What am I supposed to do if they ask me about the bruises or the filth on my skin? If they tell anyone, he'll kill me. But I need someone to help me. I'm just a little girl who wants to have friends and play and have quiet when I do my homework. But most of all, I just wish I could take a bath again. This little girl is standing there so brave. She's screaming inside, "Please help me. But be careful of what you do or say. He will hunt me down. He will kill me." As the bus pulls up and the other kids start rushing forward to get the best seats, the girl stands back. She waits patiently, making sure to stay out of everyone's way. You notice she is aware of everything around her. She steps away from the bushes slowly. You reach out and you guide your little precious one, your beautiful little girl, to the door. As you do, you hope that the infected girl behind you doesn't sit down next to her. Then the girl walks silently past you. She's clutching her books. "I can't bump into anyone. Please don't pay any attention to me. If I can get through the bus ride and make my school day, I'll be all right. Then I have to go home. When he gets home from the bar tonight, he might still be angry, or he might want to do that nasty stuff again." As she gets on the bus to face her day of fear, her deepest thoughts is knowing that nothing will change in her life. No one will challenge her situation. No one will ask her. Even if something did happen, he would still be there, haunting her, looking for her. "Please help me. I'm trapped," she quietly screams inside. That is Judging Eyes, written back in 2012. Sorry about the light again. It looks, not very good at this. Anyway, that so represents what a lot of our kids are dealing with. You know, they're pretending to be so normal outside. Maybe they're even playing. Maybe they have friends. Maybe that's the best time in their day. But otherwise, you know, maybe they are the ones who are standing off to the side and just kind of standing on the sidelines and saying, "Hey, you know, please don't notice me. Please don't say anything. But yet I need you to say something." Okay, so remembering Judging Eyes, remember how we look at people and we question, you know, what if this mother had taken what she saw in this little girl standing at this bus stop and called the school, even as a concerned parent? You know, this child's filthy, she's got infection on her, but do you know if there's some kind of thing going on? Maybe you need to check this child out. Whatever it was that would have made her pick up that phone and get help for that child would have made a huge difference in that child's life early on, before the scars and the infection was left to go. You know, sadly, this little girl experienced 5 years of not being able to bathe in her home and having her skin covered throughout that period of time with these deep patches of infected sores and, you know, busted, broken up and black teeth and just a lack of hygiene completely. And she did her best to cover it up. You know, who wouldn't as a developing teenager? You don't want to be seen like that. So, yeah, you know, you are going to be able to do some things. But, it, you know, as much as people complained about the stench on her body, still no one chose to intervene or do anything to help her. So that is our judging eyes. And each and every one of us do this, whether we are judging about, wow, look at all that money they have, or we are judging about the new car, or maybe the way they keep their yard, or maybe what their kid looks like at the bus stop, or how well their kid is or isn't doing in the classroom. Teachers judge, churches judge, law enforcement judge, child services judges. You know, we all judge. Family members judge us. So when something really, really looks bad, when there's those distressing outside signs that something is really harmful going on, you know, those bruises that you see on the face, on the upper arms, on the upper legs, maybe the abdomen or the rib cage, the marks around the neck, you know, we see these things and we just kind of, they're fighting again, you know, somebody get a smart mouth again. We kind of, where did we get this attitude? It amazes me how much cruelty we allow inside our homes. But yet if a stranger did that to us, we would press charges. And, you know, if a stranger came up and hit your brother, if a stranger come up and killed your kid, or if a stranger come up and pushed your husband to the ground or hit him with the baseball, you would press charges to the fullest extent of the law. And you would be asking, why doesn't the justice system allow me to do more? But yet, when it happens and it's our family and we see it happen, or it's our good friends, or it's our way of life in the South or in the rural communities, or, oh, it's just the neighbor down the hall again. We don't do anything. We just kind of say, okay, all right, they're at it again. You know, I hope somebody doesn't get killed. And then whenever somebody does get raped or killed, we sit back and we say, man, I knew it. I knew it. I knew something bad was going to happen. Yeah, something bad did happen. You know, and those judging eyes are the first thing and should be our gut reaction, because so many of us, you know, all of those once children are now grandparents and parents. And we know for a fact what it's like, whether you're an advocate or whether you're a tax advisor or whether you are some huge CEO leader or whether you are just the neighbor down the across the street or whatever. You know what? You've got a gut reaction to this stuff. Throughout your life, you have either experienced it or you know someone that's experienced it. There are way too many people out there being hurt that we aren't all more involved. You know, we will fight for an animal at the greatest extreme and say, oh, well, they don't have a voice. They can't speak for themselves. I love animals. I love my little Annie girl. She is like my daughter. But I wouldn't fight much harder for a human life. You know, I mean, I would definitely prosecute, you know, and use the justice system if somebody hurt my Annie. But, you know, I would also have to say that if it were, you know, the neighbor's dog, yeah, I would make a report. If I see something, I'm going to report it. If it's happening within my family, I'm going to do absolutely everything I can to make it stop. I am going to gripe and I am going to gripe and I am going to gripe until somebody does something. And if I feel it's bad enough, I'm going to involve the appropriate authorities. So why aren't we doing this? Why is it so difficult that we can fight so hard for our pets, but we completely dismiss what's happening, you know, whether it's an adult or a child? What is it? Why? It's our learned beliefs. It's our generational tolerance and experiences, which should create a gut reaction to fighting against this. But instead, we all just say, I got over it. It's not that bad. They're not being that hurt. I get news for you. It could be a lot worse than you could possibly imagine. It could be so extreme that you're not even sure how bad it is, but it's, you know, you may even hear the threats, and you may, you know, I'm going to blow you away, and I'm going to get my gun, and, you know, how dare I will kill you. You may hear all of that, you know. And I'm sorry, but if you are not concerned enough to start watching out for your neighbors when you hear this and your family members, then you shouldn't complain whenever something makes the media and it's somebody that you know and love. I want to read to you this latest case that's going on in here in Clinton County, where I live. And this is the latest that's developed in a very, very brutal case. This guy ready to go. Wrong one. Hold on. I will get it. A local man charged with 5 counts of sexual assault and abuse. 33-year-old Centralia man been formally charged with 5 counts of sexual abuse, a 3rd count of criminal sexual assault, claims he committed an act of sexual penetration with the girl under the age of, the 2 other counts were for aggravated criminal sexual abuse for allegedly touching 2 of the underage girls inappropriately. Now, you know, this is a case that I want to find out about because, you know, who knows? Right now he is waiting to be released on bond. This could be a case of absolutely of, you know, it says someone under the age of 13. So to me right there, you know, under the age of 13, these kids don't lie about those things. They don't know to lie about those things. They would much rather stay silent, and it takes a lot for them to come forward. The older teens, we kind of have to be more cautious on what is their reason for reporting. We don't want to ignore their reports. We absolutely have a duty to investigate them. But, you know, we also have to consider the overall. Yes, more than likely, you know, they are guilty, absolutely. However, in 2% of the cases across the country, they are false. So, you know, we have to realize that, you know, there are false reports, but this is a child under the age of 13. Now, the sad part is when we look at these media reports, we have very little given on the actual cases of, you know, who was around, who heard this, who knew this kid, who was communicating with this person. You know, there's another 25-year-old Belleville man been arrested, substance and 3 violations of the Child Sex Offender Act, sexual assault of a child in another case. And the bonds are set $100,000, $750,000. It all depends. 57-year-old man a man arrested after Mount Vernon police investigate child abuse. There's not a whole lot. I mean, these cases, there's more that get the media, but since 2012, but still yet there's many that don't. And those many that don't are the ones that we kind of need to watch after, because everybody knows. We all live way too close together. Now, out here in my area, yeah, there's a lot of farms. It is farm territory. But there's still family that communicates with those farmers. And it is that family that usually prevents victims from coming forward, in the sense that this is a farmer in a small community. Everyone knows them. So chances are, if they go public, or if this dirty laundry gets out about their family or their parent, then they've got a lot of people that are going to be spinking and defending that abuser or that family or that parent, rather than helping that victim. And, you know, it's just something we can pull up cases. I'm sure you can pull up a case in your media, or you've heard of a case in your area that has been reported lately. And sadly, you don't hear about it until the very worst happens. You know, sexual assault of a child under 13, that is a very serious act. You know, that's an adult and a grown person and a young girl's body, who is not ready for such a thing to happen, and who is, you know, for whatever purpose or however, manipulated into that experience. So going back to where we are, how can we ask society, what is it that we need to tell people? Now, we're having read shared with you the judging eye scenario and what these kids are thinking about themselves inside. Now, you've distressing signals a downfall in homework and grades in the classroom, disruptive behavior in the classroom, hitting other kids, touching other kids, talking sexual with other kids, neglectful, maybe medical neglect, maybe you see bruises, maybe you see rotting teeth, maybe you see rotting skin or filth or malnutrition, or maybe you have a child that's falling asleep in class. These are things that the teacher sees, even though their class may get crowded with 30 people in a classroom. I get it. I can remember there being 30 kids in the classroom when I was in school. But if you have these same kids and these same classes coming in every day, and you have that one kid who is falling asleep every day, or you have that one kid who never has their homework done, or you have that one kid who seems very distracted and is disrupting the entire class, something needs to be done. We have to find a better way to ask questions and not be afraid to ask questions. You know, almost every school has a school guidance counselor now. Why isn't the guidance counselor going to these individual children and making an appointment and calling them in? There has to be a privacy issue there. This is a counselor. We need certified counselors so that when our kids go to them and they talk to them, it's in confidence, it's in private, and they will get help. If that's not already in play, you know, I'm not real certain. Most of them that I know of have to have a certification in counseling or social services, but, you know, everything should be kept confidential. Taking the child's lead or the teen's lead on who, you know, is it my parents that I'm reporting against, or is it, a neighbor down the street, or my sibling, or, you know, did things just go off bad last night? Have things been bad for a month? Have things been bad for years? You know, but we can't just see these little kids and these preteens and these teens standing at the bus stop and ignore them and protect our kids. You know, when instinctively we want to wrap our arms around our own kid and say, oh my God, I hope they don't get too close to my kid. I don't want them to catch anything. But we're not doing anything about that kid. That little girl in the story of Judging Eyes, a lot of people had an opportunity to say something and do something, and they chose not to. The teachers, the friends next door, the neighbors, and the many people who came to the house or visited the house, stayed at the house, knew these kids, saw this kid get yelled at, screamed at, ordered around like a slave, or there had that bell rung, and that child had to go and respond to that bell. You know, that is forced servitude. That's slavery. That's a family servitude kind of thing. So these are the kinds of things that all I can do is ask you and beg you, think about what's going on in your family circle. Think about everyone. You know, I don't care if it's male or female, boy or girl. I don't care if they're 2 months old or 1 day old, or if they are 100 years old. It doesn't, there's different forms of abuse happen at different stages of our lives. And different forms of abuse can and will be and are definitely more destructive than others. And there is a level of parenting that is allowed for everyone. If not, our kids are growing up. We see it all the time. Disrespectful, not willing to even keep menial jobs, you know, like working at McDonald's. You know, do you know what it takes to have a kid who holds and keeps a job at McDonald's? You know, it used to be diners like that made their money on kids after school. You know, and nowadays it's just hard to get our kids to do anything other than be on their phones. So, you know, who are they talking to on the phones? Be sure and keep up with that. We all know these people, and let's not wait until the case gets in our court systems before we do something. I can't stress that enough. Now, I want to share with you that on May 4th, I've been invited by St. Clair County Courthouse and the Violence Prevention Center. The Domestic Violence Legal Advocacy Director has invited me to come speak and take part in an 8-hour training seminar for law enforcement personnel. That goes from the prosecuting attorneys to the police officers, the responding officers, and everything in between. So I'm hoping that we really have a good turnout. It's an 8-hour long seminar. With training on a new law that is being passed with focus on domestic violence and family violence. The topic for my discussion is going to be, you know, why do victims stay? Why is it that we deny this? So kind of these shows are also a look into that mode of thinking. You know, if you really, really suspect that something's going on, I know that you're going to question yourself and say, okay, if this victim won't leave or if they won't report, why do I have to do something? There's many different reasons why victims will stay. If it's a family violence situation, you could have someone who has lived through abuse and violence their entire life, so they are quote-unquote normalized into that behavior and don't realize that there's another life out there. We could be just ignoring it or denying it at all. Oh, they really, really love me. Being swept into that, I really, really love this person. I can help them. I can fix them. I can change them. I can, you know, we can go to counseling. We can do this. We can do that. There, financial reasons, I've not been able to work. They've isolated me from family. I have nobody to reach out to. You know, I'm in this on my own, and I've got to be able to provide a home and help and welfare for my children, or otherwise they're going to take my children away from me. There's many, many reasons why victims deny and why victims stay in these situations, and I'm really honored to be chosen to share that with the law enforcement of St. Clair County. All right, I think that about does it for our show today. I want to thank everyone who watches this video and passes it on. Hopefully I've said something and caught your attention that you will definitely pass it on. Hopefully kids, I hope teenagers see this and they start helping each other through things and that they start reporting and getting help for people in their home instead of just tolerating the effects of addiction or trauma or mental illness, because all of those things can trigger some really bad behaviors and harmful actions. So, you know, let's not dismiss what's going on in the entire circle. What is it that's going on? Who is it hurting? And who is the one inflicting it? Why might they be inflicting it? And what can I do to stop it? Okay? All right, everyone. So Tuesday, 10 a.m., I will be back with Topics with Trish, continuing on our Child Abuse Prevention Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I'm going to focus on men and sexual assault next time, not the perpetrators, but men as the victims. All right. So take care, everyone. God bless. Please pass this information on to anyone. Invite them into our radio group. Again, follow our Blog Talk Radio programming. Visit our website, www.yourvoiceradio.one. That's O-N-E. Remember that we're all in this together, and we're never going to be able to change anything unless we start within the confines of our very own home and our very own family. We can't be afraid to speak up when it's somebody in our family and we see these actions happening. If we can't speak up and change that, then how can we speak up and change things within our communities and within our neighborhoods? Peace out, everybody. See you on Tuesday morning. Don't forget, next Monday is the Dr. Rose Show. And on Tuesday, I'll be here with Topics with Trish. Wednesday, Donna Shear and Lee Roberts will be here with Two Nanas at Noon. God bless, everyone. Have a fabulous day. Thanks for tuning in to Your Voice Radio Network.